Tonight the reading is from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, on page 215 of your Bible. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Let them show it. Good life. By deeds done in humanity that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
So, as has already been pointed out, tonight we're going to follow on our study of James. I like James. I think Bible to follow. So he's a very progressive. His thoughts build on each other, and he's very clear. And unlike Paul, he doesn't use great long sentences and things. I think James is quite easily to understand, especially for simple-minded readers. And since I'm one of those, I like him. And I just thought that it was worth recapping where we've got so far, because we're going to start a new section tonight. We know that the audience that he was writing to was the Jewish Christians who were scattered across Phoenicia, Cyprus and Syrian Antioch. And they were converts who were undergoing a really hard time of it. And that's why the first of the clear themes at the opening of the letter was that rather startling statement about considering it pure joy when facing trials because of our faith in Christ. But then he soon moves on to write about how others will know that we're Christian. That's verses in chapter 1, 19 through to 3, 12. How others will know that we're Christian, because faith shows up in the way in which we're obedient to God's word, by the way we treat everyone we meet with equal courtesy, and most important of all, by the way we match what we say by what we do. And those are the things that we've been looking at over the past couple of few weeks. But now he moves on to a third section, starting at chapter 3, verse 13, and going through to 5, 6. And the theme of this new section is, well, basically it's how faith challenges our view of our own self-importance. And it's all summed up there in verse 13. I hope you've got your Bibles open. I think it's page 1215, but somebody will tell me if I've got that wrong. Verse 13, who's wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The humility that comes from wisdom. I looked up the Message Bible, you know, Peterson's transliteration of the Bible, and I love the way that he writes it. He says, live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. And that's what we're going to be looking over the next three sessions, starting tonight with a look at wisdom. Well, I've already mentioned that the original recipients of this letter would have been Jewish Christians, and Jewish people are really interested in the concept of wisdom. And it's worth underlining that we are talking here about wisdom. We aren't talking about knowledge. We're talking about wisdom. The possession of great knowledge doesn't necessarily lead to wisdom. I'm sure we all know some really clever people who would win university challenge at the drop of a hat and know everything, but are actually pretty useless in life, pretty stupid. Knowledge doesn't lead necessarily to wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge but still be a numbskull when it comes to making bad life decisions. So how are we going to define wisdom? Well, in fact, of course, the Jews would have known this, all the scripture from the Proverbs, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And they would, I think, have paraphrased it all by saying, wisdom is the art of being successful, of being able to apply the knowledge we learn in order to make a plan to achieve the ends that we desire. And for scriptural people, of course, wisdom consists in taking the knowledge of God's ways and applying that knowledge to our own lives. Ooh, look at that. Let me grab the thing. You realise this is where I totally mess it all up now. It's not going to do it for me. Oh well. We won't bother with that as a distraction. That was wisdom talking. Wisdom consists in taking the knowledge of God's ways and applying that knowledge to our own life. But James points out there are actually two kinds of wisdom, depending upon which way your heart is set and what goals you desire for your life. There's good, godly wisdom, and there's bad wisdom. Now just think about it for a second, and the example I could think of was the use of nuclear power. The knowledge of how to harness nuclear power is relatively new, and of course in itself is absolutely morally neutral. Completely morally neutral. It's a fact of the physical God-made world in which we live. And we have now learned about that fact. But here comes the split, you see, because some people immediately think, way, now we can use that knowledge to make a bomb capable of destroying thousands of people that we can threaten others with, that we can use to achieve our own world domination. Well, that is wisdom. It is wisdom. But it's not the sort of wisdom that James describes as coming down from heaven. It's what he characterises as earthly, unspiritual and demonic. Other people, of course, realise that nuclear power can be used for peaceful ends, such as providing a low-carbon, cost-effective way of generating electricity. That's peaceful, that's helpful, that's useful knowledge, and it might well have been heavenly inspired. So how do we judge the difference between godly wisdom and evil wisdom? Well, James helpfully lists the differences between the two sorts of wisdom. Let's start with the bad worldly sort and look at verses 14 to 16. He says, if you harbour envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, well, don't boast about it. Don't deny the truth. Such wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Bitter envy and selfish ambition. So here's just a question for us all to think about. When other people succeed, do we rejoice in their success? Or are we secretly envious and critical? When other people fall, are we sad or are we a bit glad quietly? Are our motives deep down in our hearts Christian love towards our neighbours? Or is it tinged with bitter envy and selfish ambition? And then there's boasting, and there's nothing which is a surer sign of pride in our hearts than boasting. And that seems to me to be a simple one to measure for ourselves. When we tell others what's happened this week, are we looking for God to get the glory in what we're telling them? Or are we looking to puff ourselves up? Do we see ourselves as better than others around us? Or, as we just look around this room tonight, as I look at each of you, do I see Christ in you? And does my wisdom lead me to want to magnify Christ as he is in you? Or do I want to magnify my own small achievements? Good wisdom leads us to want to magnify Christ in others. And the last of the sort of bad wisdom pointers is deceit or denial of truth. Do you see where James is going here? He's envy and selfish ambition lead us to boast about ourselves, and then to do others down, even if it involves telling transparent lies. Let me say no more than just look at modern politics on this side of the Atlantic and the other, and you might see where James was coming from. And the fact is that the Lord sees our hearts, and when he comes again in power and glory, the things now hidden in darkness will come to light. Christ knows our hearts. And it's very wise for us to remember that. Well, so much for bad wisdom. Let's cheer ourselves up by briefly looking at the marks of godly wisdom. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And then verse 17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Well, as I've already mentioned, I think that we shall be looking together at the qualities of meekness, that's humility, in the next section of the letter. So I'm just going to say this, that the word that James uses here for humility harks back to the beginning of chapter 3, where he's talking about horses that are broken in, powerful animals that are broken in so that their power comes under the control of the person who holds the reins. Humility is not robbing us of our power. Humility is allowing God to work through us and direct our power for his glory. A godly wise person, James says, is pure. And that is something that Peter talks about in his letters. You remember in Peter, I'm quoting from 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, don't conform to evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. And living the path of God's wisdom will lead us to purity of life. Living the path of worldly wisdom is much more likely to lead living the path of worldly wisdom is more likely to lead us to sin than to heaven. So James says, be peace-loving. Have peace in your hearts from Jesus. And by peace, he doesn't mean the absence of trouble. He means the confidence that whatever's happening to you, Jesus is there with us always. And that's such important and utterly contemporary advice for every generation as the church seeks to live wisely in a fallen world. Wisdom isn't demonstrated by the church sweeping sin under the carpet and pretending it's not there. That's worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom says, cover up sin and keep things all together. Godly wisdom says, confess sin, proclaim it where you see it, and his peace will keep things together. We're not called to deliberately start fights, but neither must we compromise the truth in order to keep the peace. Well, I'm fast running out of time, and worldly wisdom tells me that I'm going to be in trouble with Dave if I don't wind up very soon. But of those last characteristics of godly wisdom that James lists, be considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Well, out of that lot, I just want to highlight one thing: good fruit. Faithful, godly, wise people bear fruit in their lives. God's wisdom is practical. It changes life, and it produces good works to his glory. And that is James's theme all the way through his letter. Let me just close with a final thought that came to me this week, and you're going to think, oh my goodness, the poor old boy's completely lost it this time. See, I found out this week that when Johann Sebastian Bach wrote his wonderful sacred music, when he wrote not just the masses, of which he wrote dozens, but St. Matthew's Passion, St. John's Passion, music that's lasted down the centuries, every time he did that, he started right, the very first thing he wrote at the top of his manuscript was JJ, right at the top left-hand corner. And when he'd finished writing, the last thing he wrote at the bottom of the manuscript were the letters SDG. JJ, Jesus Juva, Jesus, help me. SDG, Soli Deo Gratia, to God alone be the praise. And when I read that, I thought, do you know that, what? That sums up pretty well what James is saying to us about seeking God's wisdom. If every morning when we woke up, our first thought was, JJ, Jesus, help me. And if when our head hit the pillow at night time, we said, Soli Deo Gratia, to God alone be the praise, then we'd be showing a wisdom that comes from God. Amen.